start out today's message, I'm going to show you a 3-minute video clip of something that we're going to talk about today. And I want you to see the vastness of what I'm talking about right now. Go ahead, Josh.
What you're seeing right now. First of all, this is the earth. Okay? Just you're taken off from the earth from Southern California, and we're gonna rise up for a little bit here. Okay, we're gonna pull away from it. We're gonna pull higher. Now this is at about 10 kilometers. Like if you climb Mount Everest, this is what you'd see. You'd see the curvature of the earth from that distance. Now we're gonna climb up even higher. This is at 100 kilometers. And you're a fourth of the way to the space station now. This is what you'd see. If you get to this level, you're considered an astronaut. Just if you ever get there. Okay, now we're going 100,000 kilometers. 100,000 kilometers from the Earth. You're a fourth of the way to the moon. That's what the Earth would look like. Now we're going to pull away to 1,000,000 kilometers. At 1,000,000 kilometers, there's the moon. Okay, there's the moon. You can barely see the Earth. You're at 1,000,000 kilometers now. You're past the moon, and now we're going to go to 100,000,000 kilometers. 100,000,000 kilometers. You're still not to the sun. The sun's 93,000,000 miles away, but now we're going to go to 10 trillion kilometers. There's the sun. Okay, you just passed the sun. Now you would see all of the planets at 10 trillion kilometers, and now we're at 10 to the 15th power. That means 10 with 15 zeros. I don't know what that number is. 15 zeros, and the sun's just like a bright dot amidst other stars. And now we're going to 10 light years away. At 10 light years away, come on, let's go. Zoom, there you go. 10 light years away. Now you just see the sun with like 11 other stars that are kind of its neighbors. You know, that's our sun. And now we're going to go 1,000 light years away. At 1,000 light years away, you wouldn't even see our sun anymore. These are just a bunch of stars close to it in this cluster inside the Milky Way. Now we're going to zoom out even further, and that's the Milky Way we live in. See that cluster of stars? Those are about 100,000 stars that are closest to our sun. You can't see our sun anymore at this point. Now this is our Milky Way galaxy, and forget about the Earth. Okay, there's our Milky Way galaxy that we live in. And we're just buried in there somewhere. And we're going to pull out even further, and you'll see that our galaxy is actually, it's a big galaxy, and all those other things you're seeing now are galaxies. And we're going to pull away 10 million light years now. His next scene is 10 million light years. Those are all galaxies you see amidst our Milky Way, several hundred galaxies. Now we're going to go 100,000,000 light years away. This is the last one. We're going to zoom out to 100,000,000 light years. Those are all clusters of galaxies. Galaxies and clusters of galaxies. You won't even see our Milky Way galaxy anymore amidst that. We don't have telescopes that go beyond that little sphere there. What you're seeing right now. First of all, this is the earth, okay?
Praise the Lord. Everybody say big God.
Big God.
Small devil.
Small devil.
Okay. I want to talk today about how big God is, okay? We've been sharing a series about life lessons. This is number 7, okay? The rest of the ones, the last 3 or 4 sessions, they're out there. You can pick them up or you can go on our website and download them. Amen. I was seeking the Lord about this and praying about this, and it just, so many things were happening inside me, you know, in my thinking, in my mind, you know. When you pray, and listen, when you pray in the Spirit and you pray in other tongues, do you know that that's the most perfect prayer language there is? And when you're praying in that Spirit language, the Holy Ghost language like that, God will bring up information in English to your mind of things that you just prayed about, okay? That's called interpretation of tongues. Okay, that's in the New Testament. Amen. And that belongs to every single believer. Every single believer. And but I began to see some things about, and of course you could take months and talk about this particular subject, but I want to hit some highlights this morning. And I want to talk about the bigness of God. You can see just in that video alone right there, which I thought was pretty cool. It wasn't very clear, but I think you got the point of the vastness of the solar system that we live in and how just how massive it is. It's uncomprehendable. Amen? But you know, in the beginning of time, our Father God made this universe. And when God said in Genesis, let there be light, it's never stopped since. Do you know that? It's still traveling. Light is still traveling. It's still creating. I mean, someone says, well, there must be a wall out there. Well, then what's beyond the wall? Amen? And it's amazing how people that think they're so educated, they come along, they say, well, we've got this all figured out. We came from an amoeba. You know, the amoeba crawled up on the beach and vomited up something. Then it became something else. Come on. It takes more faith to believe that. And I saw a bumper sticker one time, and I liked it. It said this, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. Underneath it, small letters said, God spoke it, and bang, there it was. Amen. See, secular humanism tries to equate God, take God out of the equation. Okay? And I want to talk about today about bringing God into the equation of your life so that he becomes bigger than any situation that you and I face. When you realize how big God is and how powerful he is, you will never worry about anything ever again. You'll never fear sickness or disease. You'll never fear anything again because you realize how big God is. Now, turn to Acts chapter 4. And I want to kind of set the stage here as we read this verse here. In Acts chapter 3, which we're not going to turn to, but I'll just refer to it, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. Now, in the early days of the church, they would go up to the temple 3 times a day. They would pray 3 times a day. And they were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. This was a routine. It was a good routine. Amen? This is the backup stream where it all started. The early part of the church, before there was any denominations, before anything started. This is the early church right here. And Peter and John were about to go into the temple at the hour of prayer. And there was a man, and you know, there was 12 gates around Jerusalem, okay? There's 12 entryways into Jerusalem, you know that. And this gate was called Beautiful. And there was a crippled man that was laying there from his mother's womb who had never walked before, okay? And the Bible says he was about 40 years old. Okay? So in 40 years, he never took his first step in 40 years of his life. And all of a sudden, Peter and John looked at this man and they said, look on us. Okay? Now, here's a manifestation of what we call in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the gifts of healings. Gifts of healings. This is a manifestation of the Holy Ghost that has nothing to do with another person's faith. It's initiated by the Holy Ghost. Okay? And I mean, you can always be healed on your own faith. Always. Okay? But when the manifestations and the gifts of the Holy Spirit begin to manifest and things get called out and things of that nature, you know, we've had that happen through the years, many times, many, many times, you know? And thank God for his healing power. And they're still for us today. Amen? If you take the Holy Spirit out of the church, you've reduced us to nothing but sheer religion, dead religion. That's why we need the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Well, Peter and John said, look on us. And the man gave heed, expecting to receive money. Okay? Because he's begging. He's giving, you know, he's asking alms of people. Okay? And Peter said, look on I. And he was expecting to receive silver and gold or coins or whatever from this guy, from Peter, you know. And Peter said this. He said, I don't have silver and gold on me right now. That doesn't mean he didn't have it. He didn't say silver. He said, silver and gold, I have none. But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And so the gift of faith and healing came on him. And he grabbed him by the hand and pulled him up. And the Bible says that he ran and he leaped and he walked and he shouted.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, wouldn't you if you were lame from your mother's womb? You know, it never ceases to amaze me when I see people that supposedly get healed from some crazy disease that I've seen through the years, and they get up and say, praise the Lord, I'm healed. I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah. If you were truly healed, you wouldn't be talking in that monotone voice.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true. You would be pretty darn excited, amen?
Amen.
dear God, if someone can get excited at a football game, at a sports event, and jump and twirl and shout over something that's never done anything for them, how much more can we do that for God? Amen. Let's just be real. Let's just be honest right now. Amen. Amen. This man jumped up, leaped, ran into the temple, shouting and screaming, "I'm healed, I'm healed." And it caused no small stir that as a result of this miracle, one man's miracle, thousands of people came to the Lord that day. We're going to see that here in a second. Thousands of people came to Jesus because one person was healed by the power of God. Are these things for us today?
Yes.
If you have to make your head go up and down, do it. They are for us today. Okay? Religion says miracles have been done away with, healings have been done away with, you know, and you're just reduced, like I said, to dead religion. I don't want that. You don't want that. Let's just be honest. We want the reality of the power of Almighty God. Amen? I remember praying for a guy one time a few years ago that couldn't hear in one ear. He was deaf in one ear, and he had blockage in his nostrils, some kind of a growth inside of his sinus system, and he had a hard time breathing. He was a new believer. Lynn and I laid hands on him. He was healed instantly, supernaturally. And I mean, he had no former training on any of this stuff. He just got saved that week, you know. We visited him. And when we prayed for him, he had a sister that was sitting over in the side of the room that when she invited us, you know, we knocked on the door and went in to visit him. And you could tell she had an attitude. How many of you know people have an attitude? It's like, you can't smile. You can't enjoy. Because you're looking down that critical eye. So that's exactly the way she was. Okay? And she's sitting over there kind of rolling her eyes. You know, we're talking to him. And, it was interesting because let's just say it was like the living room and the kitchen were joined together. It was about the size of this room right here. And there was no walls that separated the two. So we're in the dining room. She's in the living room putting on some movie or something or whatever. But she's kind of half listening to us, you know. And when we laid hands on this guy, and his ear popped open, which he was deaf in one ear, completely, you know. And I might add that when we prayed for him, there was no sparks flying. There was no goosebumps. There was no special feeling. It was just like, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Okay? I'm saying that for a reason. But he felt something. And he goes like this. He goes, "Oh, my God." He goes, "I can hear. I can smell." He started breathing in like this. And he was beside himself. Well, by this time, the sister is looking over, and as they say, her eyes were like two olives on the end of toothpicks. And she's looking like this, you know. Now, when we originally came in, she didn't want to hear it. She thought, "Oh, here comes these religious nuts. Let them think that, okay? But you know whose door they're going to knock on in the midnight hour? Listen, I've had experts criticize me, okay? But in the middle of the night, at midnight hour, and their back's up against the wall, guess who they call?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You want to say, well, but you don't do that. You walk in love, right? You stay in the love of God, right? And so he was divinely healed by the power of God instantly, right there and there. Well, his sister at this point all of a sudden had a change and a shift in the way she thought. She was thinking critically about us. Have you ever had anybody stare you down critically? Yeah. Amen? I've had that happen when I preach sometimes. It ain't fun. People look at you like, "I'm just waiting for that. I'm just waiting for you to say something." You know what I mean? Thank God there's no one in here like that. Amen? But she all of a sudden became open for the gospel. Okay? Folks, listen. We don't need more intellectual preaching. Amen. Head knowledge. Are you kidding me? We don't need that anymore. Amen. We need revelation from the Word of God that's going to go into our spirits. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't need head knowledge that's get all puffed up in our heads and our thinking, "Lord, I know this and I know this. I got my degree and I got this."
Yeah.
Baloney.
Yeah.
That's not going to cut it. Peter and John were not standing on their degrees when they walked in there. I'm not criticizing a degree. But, you know, you don't lean on that. So, as a result, this sister of his, just a couple of years younger, he was probably 25, she was probably 21. She ended up giving her heart to the Lord right there in that house because she saw the miraculous. She saw the miraculous. Amen? And I could stand here for a couple of hours and just talk about things just like that that have happened through the years. I mean, one after the other. Not even in people in the church per se. People even outside the church. And I'll tell you, we ought to look for opportunities to pray for folks. We really should. We ought to look. We ought to seize God-given opportunities to pray for people. Because people say, well, what if they don't get healed? What if they do? What if they do? Amen? Jesus paid the price for the sins of how much of the world? Okay. If Jesus paid the sins, the price of the sins for the whole world, legally speaking, the world is saved. Okay, now stay with me now. Now, they have a part in it. Okay, legally, the whole entire human race is born again, but not literally, because we have a part. We have to hear and we have to believe inside of our hearts. Think about that. Right? So, the Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was not created for man. But if people reject the Messiah, people do not go to hell because they stole something. People do not go to hell because they lied or committed adultery. There's only one way that a person can go to hell, and that is to reject the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only way. Yeah. Are you with me? And this supernatural power of God, we're coming into a season right now in our ministry, in our lives. And I'll tell you, the devil hates it. The devil don't like it. But I don't care. I don't care. Okay, I'm not trying to be rude. We have to preach the gospel that's going to set people free. Are you with me now? Not dead religion. We need the power of the gospel to get people free. Well, Peter and John looked on this guy, and the end result, he got born again. I mean, he got healed, you know. Now, if Jesus didn't, let's just take back step a little bit here. Did Jesus pay for the sins of the whole world? Yes. He did, didn't he? Okay. So if somebody dies and goes to hell, is that God's fault?
No.
All right. Now, let me ask you this. Kind of just go through these series of questions here. If someone rejected Jesus Christ that you witnessed to and they went to hell, would that stop you from sharing the gospel with someone else along that road, coming down the road, that would be open to that? Would it stop you?
No.
Not at all. You wouldn't say, well, you know what, someone died and went to hell, so that doesn't mean anybody can be saved. You wouldn't think that way. Jesus paid the price for the sins of the whole human race. Okay? Now, put your seatbelt on now. Before Jesus went to the cross, 39 stripes were laid upon his back. Are you with me?
Yes.
And by Jesus' stripes, ye were healed. Past tense. That's the whole human race. Did you know the whole human race is healed, literally?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Pastor, I knew someone that was a dear Christian, and they prayed, but they died. So it must not be God's will to heal. Listen. Jesus didn't just go around zapping everybody. Mark this down. Mark chapter 6, verse 5. The Bible says this. Did you know Jesus couldn't heal everybody? He wanted to. Jesus wants to save everybody, but a person's will has to come into play. Are you with me now? In Mark chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible says, and he, Jesus, could there, not would there, could there do no mighty work because of their unbelief. Okay? And it says he went round about their villages teaching the gospel. Now listen, this is Jesus' hometown. If Jesus had control of his healing ministry, about who he healed and who he didn't heal, don't you think he'd want to make a show at his home? Don't you think he'd want to do good in his hometown?
Yeah.
But the Bible says Jesus could there do no mighty work except lay his hands on a few sick folk with minor ailments. That's like hangnails, colds, Okay. But there was no blind eyes, no deaf ears being opened. Okay. Now, folks, this is Bible. Okay. He could there do no mighty work. Why? Because of their what?
Unbelief.
Say unbelief.
Unbelief.
Okay. Unbelief stopped the power of God from the healing power of God from flowing in Jesus' ministry. It is the same exact way today. Unbelief will hinder people from receiving healing from God. So what's the cure for unbelief? Teaching. It says from there, he says he went round about their villages teaching. And yet it's interesting, it's fascinating to me how Jesus would go to the very next town, right next door, walking distance. He would preach the same message, but all of a sudden, multitudes were healed. They would come out of every corridor. They would come out from every house. Out of the woodwork, so to speak, as we say. And they would come out because they came expecting something to be healed. And there was no limitation to what Jesus could do. But back there in Nazareth, in his hometown, he could there do no mighty works because of their unbelief. Amen? Do you see why we have a job to do as a church? That's why we instruct. That's why we teach, so that people understand. Listen. Now, if a Christian dies, they're going to heaven. Thank God for that. Okay? So we make no mistakes about that. They're going right to heaven. That's as good as it gets. Okay? And there's a lot of people today that are in heaven that went before their time. Okay? Many people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul was talking about the Lord's Supper, and he said, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many have died prematurely, not discerning the Lord's body." He was talking about communion. And the church of Corinth abused things. They abused the gifts of the Spirit. They abused communion. And that's why Paul wrote a letter to the church at Corinth, because of their abuse of certain things. Okay? All right? When Paul said, "Women, keep silent in the church," everybody says, "Amen." No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. What we have to understand is this. That, and even to this day, the Jewish synagogues, the women will sit on the one side, the men sit on the other side. Okay? And when Paul said, "Women, keep silent in the church, and if they have any questions, let them ask at home." So what would happen is, in the middle of the rabbi of sharing the word of God, somebody would interrupt the service and say, "Honey, what about that scripture? What about this? I have a question about this." And so he said, "Let all things be done decently and in order," Paul said to the church of Corinth. And that's when he was saying women keep silent in the church. He's not saying women can never talk in church. That's not what he's saying. But see, you have to rightly divide the word of God. If you take that one scripture out of its setting, people built denominations on the fact that women can't teach, women can't prophesy, and so forth and so on. That's a bunch of baloney. I mean, who were the first ones at the gravesite? The women. Who were the people that stood by Jesus? The women. Man, if it wasn't for the ladies that had a backbone, where would Christianity be today? Amen. Now, you ladies ought to get pretty excited right now. Because God is still using women and men, okay, and children. Now, I said all that to say this, that the healing power of God is available for everybody. Now, everybody look up here for a second. You see this plug in the wall right here? You see that plug there? I dare any of you to come up there and take that lid off there and put your fingers in there. Anybody want to volunteer? Dave, you want to? That'll save me from going to the beauty salon. Amen. See, there's how many of you believe me that there's power inside that socket right there? Okay. Now, I can look at it. You can look at it. All I see is a plastic plate. That's it. That's all that I see. But you know and I know. Okay. Now, how many of you ever got shocked when you were growing up as a kid? You know what? Before I was born again, I did some crazy stuff, you know. And when we were in high school, in junior high school, of all things, you know, around that sixth, seventh grade time, you know, we used to get chewing gum wrappers, the silver part of it, you know. And you would put one, somebody taught us how to do this. You put one of them, Like you're going to plug it in. You put it in the one in the socket, and then you bring the other one around, and then you put it so it's just about to go in the other side of the socket, and then you kick it in there. And when you kick it in there, there's a massive explosion. Okay? Don't try this at home. Okay? And, you know, we used to do this in school, got in a ton of trouble over it. Even got paddled over it. Okay? That's before I was saved and sanctified. I could tell you all kind of stuff. You know? We used to roll tires down massive hills. And we'd take a tire, you know, and down this massive, Edwards Drive, I remember exactly. We'd take the tire and roll it, you know, an old tire, and roll it down from the top of the street. And that thing would go 60, 70 miles an hour going down there. And all of a sudden, it's hitting cars and bushes and homes and everything else. Listen, I wasn't born again. Okay?
That was last week.
It was last week, yeah. I don't know why I'm saying that, but you know, when I got saved, I knew I was saved because I had I had the sin nature in me, the rebellion on the inside of me. Okay, I used to work as a caddy on a golf course. You know, I know you want to hear more of this, but and I had some drivers at home, and we lived on this big hill, but there were homes down below us. You know, so in the middle of the night, we'd go out there, and my friend would come over, and we'd line up all the balls, the golf balls. Okay, get down there and whack, and hit that thing. That ball goes 250 yards down there, and all of a sudden you hear it hitting homes down there and cars and everything. Boom, boom. Okay? All right? Thank God I got born again. Okay? I look back, I said, that old man's dead and gone. Amen? I won't tell you some of the other stuff. It's none of your business. But I got born again. But getting back to the socket right here, we all know that there is power in that socket right there. Now, the power does not originate in there. It's in the power company, wherever that is around here. Probably somebody knows where that's at. There's a power grid somewhere in this area that sends the power, and it goes into there, but it doesn't originate there. All right? Now, the power of God is like electricity, in that it won't hurt you, but will only help you, will heal you. When the woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus in Mark chapter 5, she came expecting. She kept saying over and over again, if I might but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'm going to be healed. I know I'm going to be healed. I know it. She kept saying, she kept saying. And so her words lined up her actions, and then she went after Jesus. No one else was being healed. No one else in the crowd was being healed. But she touched him in faith. She put a live wire. And when she touched Jesus, you know, Jesus didn't even know it until something, he felt power go out of him, virtue. And Jesus didn't initiate that healing. But he stopped and he said, who touched me? And there's all these, his disciples were all there. And they said, Master, everyone's touching you. What do you mean? He goes, no, somebody made a demand on my power. And this woman, she touched him in faith. And boy, when she touched him in faith, that electricity, that power of God went right into her, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus looked around about to see who had done this thing, and the woman, fearing and trembling, you know, she said, she told him the whole story. Amen? Probably took an hour. And she spent all her money on physicians and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, the Bible says. She went to all the physicians, thinking, hoping that, you know, maybe this doctor, maybe he has the latest technology, maybe he can help me. All right? But she spent all of her savings, all of her money. Think about that. And she was nothing better, but rather grew worse. But when she heard of Jesus, faith rose up inside of her heart. All right? And so there's a power that's available there. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. So in Acts chapter 4. I know we took a little detour there. Let's look at verse 17. Acts 4, 17. We're talking about the bigness of God here. And they were threatened, okay, when this man was healed, all right, then the religious authorities, the Jewish authorities, they got really mad and they got ticked off and they said, we're going to make a law that they can't teach or preach anymore in the name of Jesus. You know, listen, I don't care if the United States government makes a law that you can't preach the gospel anymore or they'll throw you in jail. Guess what? We have a higher law to go by. Amen. I don't care what they say. We got a higher law to go by. But in 17, that's Acts 4:17, they said this, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth no man in this name. In verse 18, and they called them, commanded them that they should not speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. All right. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And 21 says, when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people for all, because of the people. In verse 22, and for this man was about 40 years old, of whom the miracle of healing was showed. And notice in verse 23. Listen, when the word of God and miracles are taking place, there will be persecution. Yes. There will be people, even religious Christians, that don't like the power of God. Yes. Scares them. Get some knowledge, okay? Get some knowledge from the word of God. You'll find out what I'm talking about here. But he says right here, they were threatened. But look at what happened in verse 23. Now, we haven't diverged from our subject. We're talking about the bigness of God. It says right here, and being let go, they went into their own company. What's your own company? The local church. Everybody needs their own company. And that's where a lot of people miss it. They don't have their own company. They're living off on a spiritual island somewhere. They don't have a local church. They don't have a pastor. They're going shipwrecked spiritually. Okay, let's just be honest. But it says right here, when they heard that, verse 23, when they went to their own company, they reported to the chief priests and the elders what they had said unto them. Okay, so they're rehearsing the problem in verse 23. Here's what happened. They said, we can't do this anymore. They threatened them. Verse 24 says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Now, let's stop just for a second here in verse 24. In the book of Acts, is the Acts, in fact, there are still chapters being written today. It didn't stop at chapter 28. Right. This is the Acts of the Holy Ghost through the early church. Now, your Bible will tell you up here the Acts of the Apostles. It's wrong. That's man wrote that. It's not the Acts of the Apostles. It's the Acts of the Holy Ghost through the church. And he's still moving today. Right. There's still things happening, okay? Are you with me? And but it's interesting because in several places in the book of Acts, it just says that they prayed or they prayed and so forth, but it doesn't say what they prayed. However, when you come to Acts chapter 4, it actually records what they prayed when they were threatened by the Sanhedrin, when they were threatened by the religious leaders to say, you can't do this anymore. Yeah. Amen? Listen, I know people that have been kicked out of churches for believing in healing. Okay? I know people that have been kicked out of churches. We were ostracized back in our Methodist church years ago because we all got born again and the pastor got up and preached against the new birth. Well, not too much longer after that, he was out of the ministry, thank God. He had religion, he didn't have Jesus. Okay? But verse 24 shows us exactly what they prayed. Okay? Now, how many of you want to have answers, quick answers today to some things you've been believing God for? I mean, some of you have been waiting a long time for some things. Now is the time for that change to take place. Now is the time for the miracle to take place quicker, for your faith to be stimulated to the point where nothing seems impossible. See, the impossible seems impossible to our thinking. But we got to get out of our natural way of thinking. The Bible says that the carnal mind is at enmity, and it's an enemy of God, the carnal way of thinking. And we have to grasp faith. Someone said, well, that doesn't make faith. That doesn't make sense. It makes faith. Okay? I don't understand how the power of God works, but I know how to plug into it. I don't understand how a seed, if you plant a seed in the ground, and you water it, and you water it, and you let it grow in the sunlight. I don't know how that works, but it works. Anybody ever done that before? Are y'all with me this morning? Okay. We don't have to figure out all these things. We don't have to figure out how these things are going to happen. We just have to be believers. Our job is not to do the miracle. It took a lot of pressure off me years ago. Damn, I know you could say the same thing. When I realized that I wasn't the healer. Brother Hagin, when I was sitting at his feet in Bible school, he said this many a times. He goes, folks, he goes, I couldn't heal a fly's eyeball. I couldn't heal a gnat's wing. Everybody laughs about it. He was making a point. In myself, I don't have healing power. But in Jesus, we do. And in Jesus, you do. You don't have to wait for some special feeling that some super, you feel super spiritual. I don't know what that feeling is anyway. He's just looking for people that have, lift up your hands. Okay, you got hands. He said, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Okay, let's get back to this verse 24. That's Acts 4:24. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and they said, here, and here's the recorded prayer. Lord, thou art God. Hallelujah. That's what they said. Notice this. Which has made what?
Heaven,
earth, sea, and all that is within. Okay. Three things. Heaven, earth, and sea. Or any one of these three things tiny? Heaven. Oh, dear God, it's huge. Earth, huge. The sea, massive. Here's what they prayed. They started out praying about how big God was. Now, this is a key right here to receiving from God on any given area. When you magnify and amplify how big God is. Some of the greatest miracles that have ever happened to me personally came as a result of looking at how big, I know how small I am. Even more importantly, you know how small the devil is. Big God, little devil. The devil's, think about it, he was a fallen angel. He was created by God until iniquity was found in him. Lucifer, son of the morning, shining one. He wasn't created the way he is now. God didn't make him a devil. He turned himself into a devil. Okay? He didn't make him a robot. He had a choice. He said, I'm going to overtake. And Isaiah says, I will ascend to the highest. I will take over the throne of God. I will be like the Most High God. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, behold, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Kaboom. He didn't just float down. He came like lightning. Okay? He came down so fast. And he lost all of his power. He lost all of that. And his only power that he has in the earth today is the power of trying to deceive people, make them think differently. Okay? That's another thing. But notice that they said, Lord, thou art God. You've made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is within. In verse 25, he says, who by the mouth, and they're quoting here in you know, the psalm, who by the mouth of David has said, why did the heathen rage? Why did they freak out? And the people imagine vain things. The kings of the earth stood up and rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against His Christ. For of a truth of thy holy child Jesus. All right? Now, verse 29. I jumped on there. Acts 4:29 says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. That's the authorities. Grant to thy servants that with all boldness they may speak forth thy word by the stretching forth of thine hand, notice this, to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And we'll stop in verse 31. It says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. That's the building. It shook. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. Everybody say, big God,
big God.
Little devil.
Little
devil. Did God answer their prayers?
Yes.
Did they cave in because of peer pressure?
When
the authorities said, you can't preach in this name anymore, what did they do? They prayed, said, Lord, give us more boldness. And that's what we need today. We need boldness to stand up. Now, I'm not talking about being obnoxious. You have to be led by the Spirit, too. There are times the Lord says, don't say a word to that person. Just live right before them. Just live right. Walk in love. Amen? You know, if you want people to see your witness, be a lover. Amen? People want to come here a lover. When you love people and you show love to them, you know, I'm not talking the ooey-gooey kind of love, you know. I'm talking about genuine love where you're genuinely, you love people, you care for them. They know that. They know that. And, but the very building that they were at was shaken by the power of God. We can pray the same thing today. We can do the same thing. We can pray, Lord, stretch forth your hand. We ought to start doing that as a church. Okay? You get somebody coming in here in a wheelchair and crippled, you know, God raises them up. That'll get your attention. That'll straighten out people's doctrine. See, really, deep down, you know, and I know, every one of you knew, you want to know the reality of God. You want to see the power of God. You want to know the reality of God. And the power of God is not just for a church service. It is. But it's for when you go back out into the world, into the workplace, wherever you're at in your neighborhood. That's where the power of God is for that, for the sinners and the people that have never heard about Jesus before. And that people will say, yeah, you can pray for me. Amen. It's recently, somebody was telling me a problem they were having. You know, I was at a gas station, actually, and getting some work done on my vehicle. And so the guy that was behind the counter started telling me all of his ails and woes and all of his physical inabilities. And, I mean, it was like a country song. And so I said, his name is Ronnie. I said, Ronnie, do you mind if I pray for you? Now, he was thinking I was going to go home and pray for him. Okay. And he looked at me, you mean like now? I said, yeah, now. Well, there's other people around there. I said, let's go outside. Let's go outside where the pumps are, you know. So we walked out, and I didn't make a big scene out of it. Nobody knew that I was even doing it. Amen. You don't have to make a big scene. You can. And I said, I want to pray for you. And I laid hands on his knee and prayed for him and laid hands on him and prayed for him. And you could see a tear in his eye. You know what I'm saying? Now, fear would tell you, don't do that. It's going to look foolish. It's going to look silly. You know what I mean? But you know what? The owner of that gas station, I just talked to him yesterday. He said, pray for Ronnie. Okay? He knows I'm a pastor. This guy isn't even born again. He's not even saved. But you know, word gets around. You know what I'm saying? But I would like to have a reputation for praying for people. Yeah. My goodness. Yeah. You know? I'd rather have that kind of reputation than something else. Right. Amen. Oh, that's so-and-so. He prays for people. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, we're winding this down here because of time here. Time just super naturally flies when we're doing this. But notice that when they prayed, they didn't start bellyaching. They said, oh, God, they're threatening us. I mean, they're going to whip us, and they're going to do this. They didn't start bellyaching. They prayed the answer and not the problem. They said, Lord, you're the God that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is within. Okay? So what did they do? Okay, we're talking about the bigness of God. They amplified how big God was instead of how big their problem was. That's what they did. And so when you got situations in your life, you know, you got a sickness or a disease or a wayward child or whatever, you know, or you have bank situations, you don't have enough money to make it through the end of the month, you know. Those are big things. They are. We're not making light of that. They're big things. And they're real things. But we have to see God as bigger than those things. How do you do that? You start saying it with your mouth and seeing it with your eyes. Ah, thank you, Lord. Big God, small devil. Big God, small cancer. Big God, small sickness. Who is going to stand before God? Wait till you see the scripture we're going to end with today. I'm telling you, this is so powerful here. But turn quickly, real quick, to Isaiah 42, and we'll just go through a couple of verses here, and I want to show you something. Did you enjoy that video this morning? Yeah. You know, it just, and that's not the full picture of it. It's bigger than that even. But that's overwhelming to see the size of this universe that we live in, this, all the different solar systems and the, and we're just a little dot. Amen. Let me submit this to you. God is God is small just as much as he is big. Your body is made up of cells. Okay? You know that. But you can't put one cell on a piece of paper or something that you can see and say, oh, there's a cell where you can't see it with the human eye. But who made that cell? The Lord did that. He's just as small as he is big. He's just as big as he is small. That's what makes our God, God. You know, educated people say, I want to try to figure that out. You can't figure that out. You just have to accept it. You have to just believe it by faith. Hallelujah. I believe it. I'm dumb enough to believe the word of God. How about you? And that's really true smarts. Okay? Praise God. Isaiah 45 verse 12 says, God says this, I have made the earth and created man upon it. Even my hands have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. So who made the earth? Who made man? Our Father did. Say, my Father made it.
My Father made it.
Hallelujah. Now, some of you, this will help get that serious look off your face. I'm concerned, Brother Keith. That'll get that concern off your face because, you know, you realize how big God is, and you're down here trying to figure out how this is going to work out. Are you with me now? No, God's way bigger than that. Now, it depends who you listen to, because if you listen to somebody out there that might be a believer, they're a believer, and that's about it. They're born again, but they have no faith whatsoever. And there are people, and I've said this before, you know, there are people that talk about sickness and disease like there's nothing else to talk about. Brag about it. Talk about it. Listen, whoever you talk about the most is who you amplify, and that's who you build up. That's who you magnify. If I'm in a situation like that, I immediately try to change the topic, change the subject, switch gears. Let's not go into this detail here. We should be as less detailed about things as we possibly can. Well, the cells are doing this, and then the antibiotics and this, and going all these details. We don't need to go into all those details. Jesus is big. God is big. But in Isaiah 45 verse 12. Did we read that yet?
Yeah.
Let's go to, I'm sorry, Isaiah 42 verse 5. I missed it there. Y'all forgive me now? Isaiah 42 verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, that which cometh out of it, that giveth breath upon the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. There's another scripture that says that God measured the heavens and the solar system with a span of his hand. That's from here to here. You see that? God measured it in the span of his hand. Whoa. Go to Psalm chapter 8. I have two scriptures we're going to read. We're out of here today. Praise God. But in Psalms chapter 8, verse 1, it says this. Are you ready? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Thou hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, or praise because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. You know, that's quoted in the New Testament. Jesus quoted this. Verse 3, here's where I want to get into the meat of this. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? Now let's stay with me. In verse 5 it says, for thou, God, hast made him, mankind, a little lower than the angels. Wrong. See the word angels right there? That's the English translation from the King James Version. It's the Hebrew word Elohim. And it means thou madest him a little lower than, not the angels, God. A little lower, a shade lower than God. That's you and that's me. See, the angels are like, what is man that you are so mindful of him? That you see, angels are not made in God's likeness and God's image. You and I are made in God's likeness and God's image. Someone says, well, what does God look like? He looks like us. Okay? God doesn't look like a chicken. God doesn't look like a bird. God doesn't look like an animal. Now, there are animals in heaven. But you and I look like God because we're made in His likeness and in His image. The Bible says God has hands, God has eyes, God has back parts, God has hair. It's all through the Scripture. We were made in His likeness and in His image. Verse 6, it says, Thou madest him to have, that's mankind, to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. That's you and me. Yea, the sheep, the oxen, the beast of the field. Hallelujah. The birds of the air, the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the pass of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Oh my goodness. Okay? So he's looking at the big God. Oh, you made the heavens and the earth with your fingers. Seriously. This is our Father. This is our God. All right, Lord, I'll do that. You remember when the Lord called Abraham? It was Abram initially. And he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which meant father of many nations. Then his wife from Sarai to Sarah, which meant mother of many nations. 99 years old, calling him father of many nations. Now, they have never had previous, even in their younger days, they didn't have kids. She was barren her whole life. But God shows up and says, you're going to have a kid. She laughed. Sarah laughed. They called him Isaac. What's that mean? Laughter. Isaac. She didn't believe it at first. She laughed, and the angel called her on the carpet about it. Said, I heard you. No, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did. You can't hide that from God. But here's the thing. God told Abram, remember that. He says, now here's the thing. During the day, when you go down by the seashore, and if you can count the number of granules of sand that are on the seashore. Anybody been on the seashore before? I like beaches. Beaches are nice. It's nice to be there kind of about right now, right? Some Hawaiian beach somewhere. No sharks. And God just lost his leg over there, surfing over there, you know. But he said, if you can count the number of the granules of sand on the beach, he said, that will be the number of your descendants. And he says, oh, by the way, at nighttime, Abraham, when you're out there and you're looking up into the stars, if you can count the number of stars, he said, that will be the number of your descendants. And, you know, I remember just a couple years ago, we were on vacation at the beach in North Carolina. We always go down there in the summer, you know, and for a week. And it was so clear that you could actually see the Milky Way. And it almost looks like a cloud, but it's not. And there's a gazillion stars up there. I mean, it's just there's no way you can count those. Now, up here in the cities, you don't see that because of all the lights and stuff. But down there, how many of you ever saw the Milky Way before? I mean, vast, big. So God is getting Abraham to start thinking differently. He's putting an image before him. The sand, the stars. That's where he lived. That was his world that he lived in. And both of those things are huge. Both of those things are big. Okay? So what does God do? To get you to the place where you need to be to receive from God, He puts something before you so that you can see it, because that's where you're headed. That's the big place that you're going. He will enlarge your place. He will take you to the place that you want to go. Now, if you want to receive anything from God, you got to put it before your eyes. You got to put it before your ears and your eyes so that you see this is where I'm going. If you're believing God for something, get a picture out. Amen. Put it in front of you. Amen. Put it on your refrigerator, wherever, you know. Put scriptures up or whatever to paint a picture of victory on the inside of you. Amen? Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So how, and conclusion today. How do we see God as a big God? How do we do that? How do we start to do that? Go to Psalm chapter 34. Psalm chapter 34. Oh, praise God. My God, He's a big God. He's not a small God. He's a big God. Hallelujah. He's a big God. He's a big God. He's not small. No, no, no. That just came up out of my spirit. Amen. He's a big God. And you look at that problem, you go, ha, ha, ha. You shall change. Ha, ha, ha. Amen. I'm not used to that, Brother Keith. We don't do that in our church. You're not in your church. Oh, you're in this one. You know, I had something crazy happen to me one time. Back when we first got married, back in 1982, we had moved to Texas to work for a church. I'm not going to go into detail, but we were up. This was in 84, and we're working in this church. And they hired us by faith. I mean, we barely made it. We were on poverty level, you know. But, hey, we're in the ministry. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have a 401K. I didn't have health insurance. I didn't have any of that stuff, okay? And if you wait for that, you'll wait a long time, amen? You got to start where you're at, okay? Those were very humble beginnings. And but I'll never forget, we had something happen, and we felt we were short of money. It wasn't even the end of the month yet. And we got paid once a month. And I'm in panic mode. I'm like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And so we prayed. Has it come to that? No. We were in our little apartment, our two-bedroom apartment, you know, and we're praying up there. And, I mean, I'm just feeling lower than a snake's belly. That's pretty low. And I'm just feeling, I mean, I'm new to this, okay? This is all new territory for me. So we're praying. I mean, Lynn and I are praying. We're praying in the Spirit of God. And all of a sudden, I heard, not audibly, but this thought came to my mind, okay? You want to know how God speaks to you? A thought will rise up inside your spirit and filtrate your mind. And you might think, well, that's just me. Well, take a risk. Test the spirits. That's right. Test the spirits. Try the spirits. And the Lord said, get your wallet and get your checkbook. So I did that. I went into the other room there where my office was in the other second bedroom, and I got my wallet, got my checkbook. And he said, now, I'm following his instructions. That's all I know to do so far. So we come out there in our little living room, dining room area right there. And he says, now put the wallet and put the checkbook on the floor. And he says, now I want you to dance around it, and I want you to give glory and praise to me.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Are you serious? Now, it wasn't pretty. You probably wouldn't want to see that. But hey, listen to me. Jesus spit on the ground.
Right.
Spit on the ground, made clay of the spittle, put it in a blind man's eyes. He goes, now go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went and he came back seeing. Now that doesn't make sense. I mean, come on. Spit on the ground? You know what I'm saying? But you know what? The workings of the Holy Ghost sometimes are unusual.
Yes.
Amen.
But you have to be willing to obey what He tells you to do.
Yes.
So we got there and I said, here it goes. Hallelujah, glory to God. You know, it was more than that. It was more dramatic than that, I guarantee you. And the Lord said, just give thanks. Now, here I am. We're facing a deficit, okay? We're facing a deficit. It looks... Now, the only people in there were Lynn and I. No one else saw us, but the Lord saw us.
Yeah.
And I felt, I had never had him tell me to do that before. I thought, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. Okay? But I just was stupid enough to believe what he said. You understand what I'm saying? And that week, we had a tremendous financial breakthrough that came through. That week. Out of the ordinary. Outside of our paycheck. Supernaturally. Money came in. And the Lord said, if you hadn't have done that, I couldn't have done this. Okay? When Paul said we're fools for Christ, it may look foolish at times, but let me tell you something. When you do the right thing and you be obedient to what God tells you to do, you will see results. I'm tired of playing it safe all the time. Because you want to look politically correct. You want to make sure that, you know, that you don't offend anybody. Listen, I'm beyond that anymore. You know what I mean? I am not trying to offend anybody. Okay? But I want to be obedient to God. Because obedience to God brings tremendous results. Some of you in this room here, you've made some steps of faith even more recently. You've taken some steps of faith. You've sown some seed. You've done some radical things. And I'm telling you what, your day of recompense is coming. Your day of reward is even at hand right now. What seemed that it stretched you like you felt like Gumby in the spirit realm. I mean, stretching you, you know what I mean? But you've set yourself up by trusting what he told you to do. And his blessing is going to be bestowed upon you. And you watch, even this week, some breakthrough is going to take place in your life. Hallelujah. So Psalm 34, we'll close right here. Psalm 34, verse 2. How do we begin to see God as a big God? Man, I don't have time here today, but I'm telling you, God has done some things for me through the last 5 years in particular that were astounding to me. Some things he did for me and my wife and my family. Amen. You know, my son, I don't think he'll mind me talking about this, but about 5 years ago, we taught our kids from an early age. We taught them from an early age. They got baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke with other tongues when they were 4, 5, 6 years old. That's just the way it is. They grew up that way. And boy, they were so quick to receive. Boom, they just received it. They didn't let their head get in the way.
Amen.
About 5 years ago, Joshua, you know, after graduating from high school, started going to school, you know, and then he felt like he was there for a year or whatever it was, a year or 2 years, and he felt like the Lord wanted him to start his own business. Okay? How old were you at that point? About 20 years old? Okay, and so he would go up there. It was so cool. He would go up in his bedroom, put Keith Moore on, whether it was a teaching or music, you know, and he would blast it in there, and he'd be in there praying. I could hear him in there praying, okay? And it just so blessed me to hear that. I hear my daughter doing that. It just so blesses me that I'm not over there with the whip cracking it, making them do it. They're doing it because they want to do it. Well, one day Josh is between school and everything, and he's praying in his bedroom, and he's praying in the spirit, 20 years old, okay? And he's praying in other tongues. You don't know what you're saying in tongues, the Bible says, but you can ask for the interpretation of what you prayed, okay? It's like two nickels equal what?
A dime.
A dime, all right? So you have tongues, interpretation of tongues is equivalent to prophecy, all right? And the Bible says, forbid not prophesying. The scripture says that. And forbid not to speak with tongues. That's part of our inheritance. That's what we have. That's a secret weapon that you and I have. So he's in his bedroom, that little small bedroom. And he's up there praying in tongues. And then all of a sudden, this thought floated up in his spirit to his mind. And he wrote the word Chevy. He wrote the word Chevy down. Huh?
He said it.
He said Chevy. Okay. He said it out loud. And then you wrote it down, right? Now, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how much time lapsed between this situation, but, you know, long story short, we had tried to go to take out a loan, you know, and get him a get him a truck. He wanted to start a business, you know, so he wanted a truck. So we went to our local banker and talked to them and so forth. And then we got the application. We're filling it out. And I just had a witness in my spirit, don't do this. You're making a wrong move right now. But my head was giving me fits. My head was like, well, if you don't do this, he'll be walking for five more years. Okay? And so we got home, ripped up the application. We said, and he felt the same way. He said, you know what? We're going to trust God. We're going to just trust the Lord. Well, you know what happened? He's praying this out in the spirit. And all of a sudden, the Lord said, Chevy. Okay? That comes up. He speaks out, writes it down in his little, his daytimer thing, whatever it was, you know. And a few short weeks later, I get a phone call. Now, I was looking for another vehicle at this time myself, okay? And I was up in the Cranberry area up there in Wexford where you guys live. And there was a car dealer that's not there anymore that used to be up there. And I'm talking to this guy, you know, and come to find out it just wasn't the right vehicle for me, you know, and so forth. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, if I told the owner of this company here as a private owner, okay, and I said, if you come across a truck or something like that, you know, let me know because my son's looking for one. It didn't work out for me. I didn't have the right piece about getting a vehicle at that point. But I said, if you come across a truck, you know, my son's looking for a truck, let me know. Okay? Well, here comes this other guy, another believer. He comes into the same place looking to trade his truck in. Okay? Now, we had met this person before, just a brief acquaintance. We knew this couple, actually. We came across them. And he wanted to trade his truck in. It was a Chevy, white Chevy truck, a Colorado, okay? And so he calls me up. The owner of the company calls me up. He says, I have a guy that's getting ready to trade in a truck right now, and he wants to get at least $10,000 out of this truck, okay? I said, you know, I appreciate it, but I'm just going to pass for right now, you know? And so about a week later, you know, I just that was it. A week later, I got a call from the guy that was trading his truck into this company to get another vehicle, okay, that had this white truck. The owner told him about us. So he got my phone number. He calls me. This is a believer now, right? I'm just talking about how big he is. This man calls me up, and he says, Keith, you know, and I said, oh, hey, how you doing? It's good to hear from you again. I haven't talked to you in a while. And he goes, I'll tell you what, I'll give you this truck for $9,000, you know. And I said, you know, I appreciate it. I really do. But right now, we're not going to go that route. That's what I said. A few days later, I get a call from the same guy. He calls me up. And he's like in tears on the phone. He says, Keith, I don't know how to tell you this. I said, well, go ahead. He goes, my wife and I, we can't even sleep at night. He goes, something told us to give your son this truck. Okay? A $10,000 truck. Okay? We're not talking a bicycle here. We're talking a truck. Okay? Right out of high school, you know? And I said, I guess there's a silence on my part. He goes, did you hear what I said? I said, yeah, I heard what you said. He goes, it's a white Chevy Colorado truck. It's out in the parking lot right now. It's a miracle truck. And he said, the Lord said, I want you to sow this into Joshua, your son. Not me, my son. So we made arrangements. We went up to AAA up in Cranberry, made the title transfer deed, and he drove that truck home. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Debt-free.
Amen.
Debt-free. And to this day, he has no debt attached to his name with even his own company. No debt. No debt at all. Okay? But this scripture says here, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Praise God. Now, I didn't plan on saying that this morning at all. But sometimes newer people haven't heard that yet. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, when the house of Cornelius, when they were baptized in the Holy Ghost, they spoke with tongues and they magnified God.
Amen.
Now, you know, God doesn't become any bigger than he really is, but to us he becomes bigger. A magnifying glass enlarges something. You've used them before. You place it in front of something small, and all of a sudden it becomes larger. Now, it's not literally becoming larger, but to you it becomes bigger. And it says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Let's magnify the Lord. Let's look at how big He really, truly is. Amen? And I'm telling you, as a 20-year-old young man, he just prayed in the Spirit, and all of a sudden, an interpretation floated up on the inside and said, Chevy. And that's exactly what he prayed out. And the miraculous took place. A miracle took place. Hallelujah. So when we pray things out in the Spirit, you can bring in the impossible. You can do the impossible. Praise God. I'm out of time right now. Praise the Lord. Let's just thank Him right now for His bigness and His goodness. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you. We magnify you, Lord, today. We worship you today. We worship you today, Lord. We worship you and magnify you today, Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, the Scripture tells us, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Okay? Now, I'm not at liberty to share some of the other examples. We're out of time anyway, but I'm telling you, we've had some things happen like this through the years, the last 5 years especially, where we've seen miraculous things like this take place. And at the beginning, when you're believing God and you're praying in the Spirit and you're believing Him, it looks and it feels like this could never happen. It looks like it could never happen. But know this, you have within you the secret and the power to change anything in the natural. You have what it takes on the inside of you. Praise God. So don't look at how big your situation is. Don't look at how big that it might appear to you. But look unto the bigness of God. Look at how big He is. Amen? And He is going to take us into a large place. A large place. A large place. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Dan, you got something?
Yeah. For you see, there's a kingdom that's been placed within you, saith the Lord. A kingdom that you're to reign in life as a king. And there is a language, saith the Lord, that's spoken in this kingdom. It's a supernatural language. It's a language from me. For you see, it's with other tongues and stammering lips I've declared in my word that these people shall speak. Stammering lips in another tongue, which will give the rest, wherewith I said will cause the weary to rest. For there is a language that has been given. From the natural, many have criticized it, saith the Lord. But it's of me. It's scriptural. So enter in.
Yes.
Begin to speak those divine things unto me, saith the Lord, and supernaturally I'll be at work. The enemy does not know what you're saying, for you're saying and declaring secrets on the divine secrets, saith God.
Thank you,
so,
Lord.
Don't be laxed in these things, but allow the gift and the language that I've ordained to come forth unto me, saith the Lord.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Praise God. I receive that. I receive that. I receive that. Brother Hagin, my spiritual daddy, Lynn and I, was facing a need one time that he needed something like $1.5 million, you know. I mean, that's a lot of money. And this is back in the early 80s, you know. And the Lord spoke to him and he said, if you'll pray more in tongues, he said, not that he wasn't, he said, but if you'll pray more in tongues, you'll see greater financial breakthrough. So he said he started praying in tongues and all that money came in supernaturally. Supernaturally. I was there when it happened. I was there when he brought the envelope and said, here it is. Praise the Lord. Because you're able to pray about things your mind can't get involved with. Amen. Praise the Lord.